Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hey guys, I'm Ryan Key.
Nick Ganbarian am I. Is Yoda? Hello.
That's my guy.
Hey, it's Mike Forster. We have a lot of discussion to talk about today. Most importantly, worms, large worms.
Snow worms.
We're talking about spice. We're talking about people with no eyebrows.
Iceberg worms.
The snow halud. Yeah. Try it out.
Snow halud.
We're going to resist the urge to talk about Dune at all, aside from saying that it's incredible and we've all seen it and we've talked a little bit via text.
I'm going to maybe commit us to a Patreon episode in which we talk about Dune 2, because I think...
Mike, I have a three-month-old. Don't commit me to anything.
The three of us are going to commit ourselves.
No, I'll be there. If you're talking about Dune, I'm coming.
I have to wash my hair that day.
You're coming with.
Oh.
Yeah.
We already know Nick's not Dune guy.
What's very interesting, the one thing that I'm like seeing is how many people don't do their homework in regards to... I think both of these franchises, and I will say this on the Star Wars podcast, is the amount of people who are like, is this what Star Wars should have been in the modern age? And I'm like, okay,
dude,
you know what? We got to...
Mind blowing.
We got to bring this around. We got to right this ship, because there is plenty of universe for both of these things to exist exactly in the way that they are.
Yeah.
And let's just have Thank the Maker, establishing two different kinds of podcasts.
Also, one of them has source material and one of them doesn't. Like, well, yeah. It's not even the same. It's so irrelevant to have that conversation.
Ain't no ballpark neither.
Yeah, it's easy to compare because it's space, but like, yeah, it's apples and oranges.
Yeah, there's a spaceship in it.
It's like literally being, it's like the new Star Trek versus Star Wars. I'm like, well, if you knew anything about either, you wouldn't compare them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember watching it thinking, this is incredible. Number one, I don't know what I'm going to write my Jedi origin story about, because this is like basically all of it. And then two, yes, this is very much like Star Wars and I can see everything that Lucas took, but then he went and did something way different. Way different.
Yeah.
Totally different tone and vibe. Everything's fine. Everyone settled down.
Yeah.
It was great, though.
It's amazing.
And I'm glad I have eyebrows.
We, on the way home, I was like, babe, what time this week works for you for me to go back and see that by myself? She was a good sport. She went. She only slept through the Gaty Prime gladiator scene, and then she was awake again. So, you know, I thought once she was gone, she was going to be gone the whole movie, but she came back and she was there the rest of the time.
I was taking it very seriously about not falling asleep, because my whole trajectory with Dune 1 was best sleep I ever got in my life was when I saw it in the movie theater the first time. Then it came out on HBO Max and it took me like three times to watch it, and it had nothing to do with it being good or bad. It's just slow, you know? Like,
that's me with Lord of the Rings, dude.
It's great. Like, it's amazing. It's a work of art. It's like the scope is huge, but I was just putting me in a room where I have to sit down and not look at my phone is sleepy time. That's it.
Very sleepy.
It doesn't matter what's on.
He's a sleepy guy.
What are you, 25?
Dude, I'm so tired all the time.
Dude, don't go to Alamo Draft House. I think they have snipers for people who pick up phones.
Yeah. Right. Right, right.
Yeah. I saw it at 2 p.m. though. It helped.
Speaking of snipers.
Oh.
Segue.
Right. That's a good point.
Nice.
Especially because Adam was like, I don't want to talk about Dune on the podcast tonight. And I was like,
and here we are.
I totally agree.
That's good. That's a good amount.
I am restraining myself with every fiber in my being to not be like, ooh, and this, ooh, and this. So let's, yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Talk about our boys.
You showed up with eyebrows and hair. I mean, that to me, I just.
You, I mean. There's less than there used to be.
Sure, sure.
Ball cap.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a long-term play.
I'm not full Fade Ralpha yet.
Sure.
Keywords
yet. We do know if in the future, as it starts to thin out more, you're just saying I'm actually on my way to a fully Harkonnen transformation, which it works. It does.
All right. Let's talk about a sniper, a very special sniper. On a cartoon, an animated series called The Bad Batch, we're talking about season 3, episode 5, The Return. It's a solid episode, solid character building episode with a mission and a big monster battle, as is tradition. Mm-hmm. Last episode ended on a moon of Ryloth. This episode starts with the Bad Batch back on Pabu. I don't know. Is it the next day? We don't know. Mainly though, it's about Crosshair's reintegration into the group. We had the big reunion last week with everybody. We focus on the conflict between Crosshair and Hunter mainly in this one. Crosshair's dealing with trauma. He's got his diminished abilities, shaking hands, that kind of stuff. And Omega's kind of, as usual, the glue. She's trying to bring stuff back together. She's working the whole thing. And it was like a not super eventful, but I feel like emotionally deep and character deep episode that actually told us quite a bit. Nick, what did you think overall? What was your general impression?
I'm glad that I picked up, I feel like pretty early on, I picked up on it being a character building episode. It seemed very, the whole time I'm thinking about our bingo cards and I'm like, oh man, this might, unless something happens at the end of this episode, might be adventure of the week. But if we're going to like blanket statement, say this is character building and reintegration into the group, and yeah, and that's the point. You know, I think him being okay with first Omega, now Hunter, that's the point. I get it. It's cool. I liked it. I mean, it's good to go back to somewhere they've been last season, specifically for, well, I guess only Crosshair was there last season. I mean, my one thing that I thought was a little strange was how much care and emotion Crosshair put into those clone helmets from all we met last season. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen him care about tech once.
Right.
That to me, I was like, I understand what they're trying to do here, but in the first four episodes, he hasn't cared about tech once. So I was like, is that a misstep or is that coming maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like they're taking their time to some degree, and that's all I can say confidently. Mike, your face is looking like you have thoughts and you're focusing on something here.
Well, I'm, of course, chatting it up with our YouTubers. But most importantly, I think maybe the reason that Crosshair hasn't had his tech moment in relation to the Mayday and the other clones' helmets specifically, is I think maybe in his idea, he had control over that situation more. Mm. And so like him being directly involved with their lives, besides, I know it seems odd to say that in comparison to tech, but at that point Crosshair was like out of the picture, right? So I think there's more discussion on that. We can definitely talk about that for sure.
Ryan, you have thoughts or you want to get right into Stolen Plans?
I just want to know if in regards to the bingo cards that this isn't actually a Monster of the Week episode because the whole thing was still about clones in Mount Tantus, right? I mean, it was still eyes on the prize, focus on the mission. This wasn't like a completely separate side quest, like, you know, right? Are we all in agreement on that?
Yeah, and we return to a location that has huge significance. So I think that thing alone keeps it out of that category.
Copy that. I think that this is a lot about Crosshair in regards to not bringing up tech. I just think it's he's on this journey of revelation about the things he's done personally. Mm-hmm. He wasn't there when it happened, and It's almost like they would have to have a scene where him and Hunter sit down and be like, so how do you feel about tech's death? You know?
Yeah.
Because like, where is it going to get written in, you know?
They have that teed up a little bit with Omega insisting that he's going to have to talk to them, like sit and talk to them, you know, kind of at the top of the episode. So,
yeah. But again, I mean, I think that's all about the him talking to them about why he's back and like what possibly would have led him to change his mind and, you know, betray the Empire.
It's interesting because it's that thing. I still don't know what the term is, and I keep meaning to do the research and I haven't, where either the character knows something that the audience doesn't or vice versa. And in this case, we all know what Crosshair went through, but the other characters don't. Mm. So it's this interesting dynamic, this like waiting game of figuring out how that's going to reveal itself.
But I really enjoyed kind of taking a beat for a week to just focus on dialogue and character development. You know, I mean, you have to do that and you have 25 minute episodes, 23 minute episodes. You know, there's only so much you can do if they're just like guns blazing the entire time every week, right? So I think that's where the air quotes monster comes into this episode. It served a purpose. I mean, I really liked the writing, the way they use those shield generators that are keeping the worm out.
The anti-thumper?
Not to go there.
Yeah.
They kind of look like thumpers, but the way they were diverting power from those, and that's what caught, you know, that gave us sort of that element of surprise and adventure for this week's episode. But I thought it was really well written and very purposeful why that monster showed up and the purpose of those shield generators and everything were. So anyways, I'm repeating myself and it's been a long day. But that I really liked how they wrote that in and still gave us some action for the week, because this episode probably would have been fine if it was just them sitting in a bunker talking. I would have been into that, you know?
Yeah.
But what do we always, Star Wars is for kids. You need a monster.
Yep.
Why is the monster always angry? Why can't it just be a big monster, but friendly?
Yeah.
Why is there always a big monster?
A clumsy monster.
It couldn't be that the worm under the ice is just attracted to thing like big vibrations, right? Because otherwise, as soon as they turn off and it's like, ooh, I'm going there where the building is powered up and humming, like what other reason would it have, you know, anyways.
Well, here we are. Let's do Stolen Plans.
You kid, it's not that kind of show.
What have you done with those plans?
Season 3, Episode 5, The Return. Debuted today, March 6th, 2024, on Disney+. Disney Plus description, tensions rise as our heroes navigate new dynamics on a dangerous mission. 26-minute runtime, about the same as the past few, you know, aside from the first. Directed by Nate Villanueva, written by Amanda Rose Munoz, another Star Wars animation veteran. Story editor, again, Matt Mishnevitz. No featured cast other than Ben Diskin returning as AZ-1. Because again, it's, you know, Dee Bradley Baker doing 99% of the whole show. Here we are.
Let's just break the scoop right now that the worm was the worm from Dune. He was in this episode.
Yeah, cameo.
There we go.
The title, The Return, as we get into this discussion here, refers to two things. Echo's return, of course. Echo and Rex have been trying to find the location of Tantus. They've got something up their sleeve. I'm hoping that this is leading to like a big clone uprising, rebellion, you know, everybody breaking out kind of thing. Who knows?
Free everyone. Yeah.
Maybe they all die in that episode. Who knows? And then the return to this outpost planet, Barton 4. We don't hear the name on screen ever. There's a Wikipedia article about it. I don't know where that information comes from, but it's called Barton 4.
You know, this thought just popped in my brain again, and it's been a long day, so I might forget it. You know how they're like, they test the Death Star tech out with ships before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I way off on that? That there's like smaller versions of it.
Yeah, they did that in Clone Wars. They found that big, huge kyber crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And yeah.
So
for Rebels, I think.
I hope both things, Adam. I hope that we see this clone uprising to free everyone, Tantus, but can you maybe see Palps showing up? And because we know that his cloning and everything doesn't happen there. Mm. At least, I mean, I think we assume that most of it happens whenever Exegol becomes a part of the story, which it probably already is because the Sith Eternal are there for so long. And, you know, it seems like they've been there for a while. But either way, it shows up and just annihilates, just everyone goes out in a blaze of green laser fire glory, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hmm. I mean, I just feel like that would be such a sick ending, and Mount Tantus is gone, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because he like can't let him get away with all that information. Everyone can't just escape and head off into the galaxy and say, guess what, everyone?
That would be pretty dark and awesome and terrible.
It would be very, very Filoni and very like end of Clone Wars kind of energy.
Rogue One, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. I just had that thought.
It rhymes. Omega has Nala Se's data pad from the last episode. It's not working. It's encrypted. But Crosshair says if they plug it into an Imperial terminal, that should bypass the encryption. No tech there to hack it. Tear emoji. Crosshair suggests going to the outpost on Barton 4, right? The planet from season 2, episode 12, The Outpost, that we talked about already. For anyone who's forgetting what that was the, kind of the turning point episode for Crosshair when he killed that Imperial officer, Lieutenant Nolan, the douchebag, that like just the one with like the blonde eyebrows.
Yeah.
And just looked like he'd never set foot on a battlefield.
Fuzzy
and
it coat.
Actually says that in the episode, right? Yeah. Right. So he kills that guy. He learned that this group of clones led by Mayday, the one with the bandages on his helmet, was essentially left to die. And, you know, all they were protecting was armor for the new TKs, basically.
Yep.
Called them expendable, used equipment, right? Big piece of shit. Bye-bye. Lots of Crosshair development in this one, like we've been talking about. And the main focus being the Crosshair and Hunter conflict that goes back all the way to season one, episode one, when Hunter wouldn't kill Caleb. And that's, you know, we saw it. If you go back and watch, dude, it's like immediate. The split starts happening immediately in the show.
Right.
You know, and it, you think about that's the very beginning of the Bad Batch, but we do have the stuff in season 7 of Clone Wars that I always forget about being the real origin of it, you know? Maybe you guys don't, but I just have these moments where I'm like, man, all this happened so fast. And then, oh yeah, I should probably go back and watch it.
Yeah, no, we had that little, what, 3 or 4 episode arc?
Yeah, that was right. The beginning of this of the season, right?
They've been around for years, 4 years. Yeah.
So, question, I mean, Is this like just a protective thing? Is it a jealousy thing because Omega has this connection? You know, he kind of feels like her father figure, but she's got this connection to Crosshair that she's kind of always had. She never wanted to give up on him. You know, what vibe do you guys get more than anything? Or is she just like a great, beautiful soul and he's like, no, kid, it doesn't work like that. Some people are just pieces of shit. Like, where does he sit?
I'm not sure. I think it's more... I mean, he fully had trust in Crosshair until he didn't. So yeah. I think now he sees that it's at least a possibility. So he's probably just protective over Omega. But yeah. That's my guess.
Maybe the jealousy thing is a reach, but he is the father figure in a way. But she's, you know, they're all her brothers and she always talks about that. So Crosshair does, there's a great like little moment of conflict right before they go and have to deal with the snow worm that Crosshair, he reminds Hunter that he tried to warn them that the Empire was hunting Omega back in season 2, episode 14, Tipping Point, but Hunter didn't trust him then. Omega ended up captured. They're kind of pointing fingers at each other. Hunter criticizes him earlier for, you know, just following orders at the base before when he eliminated the raiders or whatever. But everybody else seems to be like a lot more forgiving. I haven't gone back and like fully put together all the pieces, but I mean, basically, Wrecker's like, well, if Omega trusts him, that's good enough for me. Is he just a big dumb idiot? Or
yes.
Is
yeah. I don't know. Like, Hunter's the perceptive one, so he's probably going to be more discerning. And Wrecker's, yeah, he's the big dumb idiot. So, again, that's my guess. It might just be, like, nothing to it. It just, they're putting it out there.
Because there was, like, what was the redemption moment where, you know, aside from knowing that he sent that signal... And then he shows up with Omega. Was there something, I guess when they're in that kind of like, that arena that looks like the training facility and they team up and then at the end of it, he says, join me. Like it becomes clear that he still wants them to be a team, mm-hmm. but he wants to work for the Empire, right?
Right.
I guess there's that.
I mean, you also have the season finale of season one, right? I mean, like the Bad Batch could have... They both could have killed each other, essentially, right? There's kind of mm-hmm. like that standoff, and for them to leave Hunter, or for them to leave Crosshair on the remnants of Kamino to get picked up, and you know there was a mutual respect there of being like, we know we're going to run into each other again. And I think
right.
when you look at it from the standpoint of there's this awkwardness of In a lot of ways, too, you look at the stubbornness of Crosshair and you think, isn't Hunter just as stubborn? But we, because like you said, the perception of knowing what the audience knows that each other doesn't know, there is something there about showing that both of them are actually quite stubborn in their own way. And they don't want to be mad at each other. I think that's the other thing. I think they both understand that their ideologies have kind of smashed into each other at this point, with Hunter feeling like we've always been on the good side and bringing Crosshair into the fold. But Hunter also is aware that they need a place to go. They need to, in some ways, remind themselves that that Crosshair's cynicism actually has kept him alive, too. There's an interesting dynamic between the two of them, and you can kind of see it a couple times in the episode, but most importantly, after they get the worm out of the perimeter and they kind of look at each other and just have that silent little nod to each other is kind of like,
right,
we are better together. We know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Stacey Leanne in the patron chat makes a good point. Wrecker was ready to take Crosshair back in season one. So apologies for calling him a big dumb idiot.
He's our big dumb idiot. But there is something.
He just wants to blow stuff up.
Yeah. And but also like him even saying it didn't feel right to get rid of your armor is that long idea that, you know, no one's ever really gone, you know? And if this was just something that he was off on his own way, Wrecker has hope that he'll be back, because that's just what Crosshair does, or whatever he's going to say.
Yeah.
And I love seeing the Republic symbol on there all beat up and kind of washed out.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to him repainting that armor. Maybe it'd be something cool. We'll see.
Two episodes next week. We could get one clip.
Oh yeah.
One clip.
Yep.
So.
All right. Nick, you already mentioned the thing about Crosshair taking the moment to kind of display the helmets, or Mike, whoever mentioned it, of Mayday and the other troopers that were killed at the outpost, which was a beautiful little moment, I thought. But the other kind of like look into Crosshair's current condition and emotional state and whatever is his shaking hand, which that you know, they did a close up of like four times, right? And he's doing the training, he's doing the target practice with AZ at the beginning. He's shooting like shit. So the question is he deteriorating physically for some reason, like clone DNA, getting old, you know, they're young, but they're old? Or is it some kind of neurological symptom of PTSD? Because it seems to be like in moments where it matters that it hits him the worst. What do you guys think?
If those are the two choices, I'm going to go more with the second one, because if clone DNA is degrading, I feel like we'd see the other, you know, three main people degrading. Mm-hmm. He's the only one who's been like in captivity. I assume if it's not neurological, like PTSD, it's because he was being tested on. There might be something there. So I would definitely lean less in the like DNA breaking down and more towards something happened to him.
I mean, look,
trauma.
We all know how it went when Pete Mitchell went up in the air for the first time after Goose died.
That's true. It's a great point, Ryan.
Talk to me, Goose.
He just couldn't get back in the fight, you know? And I mean, that's a thing when you've been through what Crosshair's been through. Every time he picks up that weapon, he feels out of sorts because he's like overwhelmed with the pressure and the anxiety and stress of all the things he's dealing with, which is the scene of him putting the clone troopers' helmets up, you know, picking them up off the floor. He's changing. He's not this like cold-blooded killer anymore. And whether it's conscious or not, it's freaking him out.
Yeah, and he'll fire when he's goddamn good and ready.
That doesn't look good. Doesn't look good.
Maverick's disengaging, sir. Why do they have a 14-year-old or whatever at the console in that movie? Maverick's re-engaging, sir.
I don't know.
Who's that kid?
Where is he now?
That kid's somewhere like in a Best Buy showing YouTube clips to the employees of when he was in a movie once.
That's me. Right there. That's me.
Yeah, see, right there. The one with the squeaky voice, that's me.
What about we're just using ice as an adjective to describe every animal on this planet, I assume.
That's right.
The
ice man.
Ice man, ice worm.
Hey, well, we got to stop. We got to stop.
But do
the,
we?
The vulture, the ice vulture.
Did you guys think that was the thing with the sparkly, almost crystalline feathers? Kind of like the wolves or the foxes in Last Jedi?
the Vulptex or whatever they're called.
Isn't there a bird that has that too in the Clone Wars? Or what am I thinking of?
No, I think maybe you're thinking about a Pokemon. There's a part of it, I think what's interesting about that is like, you know, they use, Star Wars has used birds as this, you know, kind of representation of both vultures being the sign of death for a lot of people traditionally in cinema. And then you also have the idea that they can be free, which I think is really cool. And so the idea of that bird representing both of that, because Crosshair had looked up and saw that bird when he was bringing Mayday back. And I think he's got frostbite and he's like basically dying himself. And he sees that bird that's coming for him, right? And then on the opposite side of things, him understanding his role has changed, putting Mayday to rest, knowing that like he has, like he told Hunter, the opportunity to change where they go. We have to have hope that maybe, or Hunter says, maybe there's hope for us still. We just have to continue to try to do good. That bird suddenly means something different to him. And the fact that it came back isn't all that important in the biology of the animal itself. But I think obviously for us looking at the reason why it's there, I think certainly is a flipping of the script, which I think is pretty cool.
Deep, bro.
The pajama eye in the Discord chat just put an image of a Pokemon card. Articuno is the name of this ice bird.
I feel like that's an expensive Pokemon card if you're a kid in the 2000s.
I don't know anything about this.
Well, because you're old, Adam.
Yeah, any youths want to give us a deeper look into this?
Articuno?
Articuno, yeah.
Articuno, I think, is a legendary Pokemon, which, if that means anything to any of you other mid-millennials, means that it was probably like you had to buy both the games, you probably had to link up your Game Boys, do whatever, trade it, find it, something, and it ended up changing your life in absolutely zero ways. Other than if you had the card, which you could now sell for a hilarious amount of money because dream of the 90s, baby.
I mean, Filoni and everyone else involved in this show, I can see them throwing a reference to this kind of thing in there.
Sure.
I can see that.
Speaking of references, well, we'll get to that.
Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Speaking of references, we're going to do a Den of Antiquities this week. I threw a couple things to Mike about the outfits, kind of a little armor party angle, and then we found a few more things, and Mike ended up doing some more research. So, Mike, you want to do the Den with these few things we have here?
Sure, let's do it.
For over a thousand generations.
It is the Darksaber.
Torgon Togosh.
It's a Kalikori.
A Sith Wayfinder.
Dark science. Cloning. Secrets only the Sith knew.
The Den of Antiquities in the Bad Batch. Are we ready to dive deep into the Den? It's really not that deep today.
It's just a miniature armor party for you folks.
Yeah, it really is. I think probably the biggest thing that we all geek out about is every time we see a ship. Ship go fast, new ship, cool ship, Star Wars. The Remora, which is Echo's newish ship, which kind of has a little bit of the U-Wing from Rogue One. Kind of has those, you know, the four engines all stacked up on each other, actually goes back even further than Rogue One. And you will notice it in The Force Awakens. It kind of has like a Star Destroyer-ish, almost like Venator class, like Clone Wars large.
Was it not symmetrical?
I noticed that too. It's
right. Yeah. Like towards the front, it seemed like it had like a wing, a sort of, I don't know what to call it other than like a wing that juts out, and then the other side didn't have it, but everything else was symmetrical.
It's that like docking ring kind of thing that's on the Falcon and other ones, but only one. Yeah, I saw it too.
So the it's Corellian style, and it's according to StarWars.com, the Remora was once a mining vessel that has since been retrofitted for high-speed insertion and extraction missions. This tracks. Equipped with a small detachable boarding craft, also known as a leech vessel, capable of docking with other ships and even boring into solid material, making it ideal for stealth infiltration. Almost like an Echo. This actually was from The Force Awakens, designed by, that was called the Misan Marinette. And you can actually see it. Their fin is loading up. This is, I think it's outside of Maz's castle. Yeah. And you can see, it looks like Sidon Ithano, which is that really cool red helmeted guy with the big, with the kind of short little eyes. They're loading some cargo into it. So that's actually where that comes from, which I think is pretty cool. In the outpost base, Omega uses the same type of Imperial comlink that we see Luke and 3PO use in the Death Star in A New Hope.
Oh my.
Which is the two Hovey Tip Stormtrooper aerators just put together.
Oh, no way.
Armor party.
When Wrecker goes to the outpost breaker box to manually restart the system, while Omega talks it over in the room, once again, another Jurassic Park reference. It's nearly shot for shot of how Ellie Sattler and Ian Malcolm restore power to the park.
Is it a reference if it's shot for shot?
I mean, it's...
I think it's called a remake at that point.
Yeah. It's pretty much shot for,
Star Wars ripped off Jurassic Park, and that's okay.
Right.
Our next episode.
Even all the way down to the like actual flipping of the breakers and that, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the priming, yeah.
Yep, and that was the first thing I thought of. I'm like, oh my gosh, Jurassic Park, man. Last episode, this episode, this is great. Next week, there's just going to be a T-Rex in it, but it's going to be an ice T-Rex, and it's going to be very cool. You guys are going to love it.
Yeah, he's a rapper.
Iced Rex. And that is our little den of antiquities for this week, which is still pretty cool, despite there not being a whole lot for us to look at in regards to background stuff.
Yeah, the whole season so far, really. Not too Easter eggy. Right?
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Did you have no more information about the outfits and stuff?
Well, the outfits, I think, unless they're different from last week's episode, Crosshairs has a little bit of a different fit. Omega's is relatively the same, unless you, I'd have to
They're all rocking like Miami Dolphins colors. We notice that? Like, it's like a green and orange. Yeah.
Nick and I, on last week's episode, while you guys were cruising, the very Hoth inspired, like Leia's Hoth, the quilted pattern that Crosshair has, and she's got a very similar vibe to it. So, we thought those were pretty good fits, perfect for going to an icy planet. As soon as they said, I know a place, I figured it was the same for Crosshair. It obviously has more significance, to go back to Barton, but there was a part of me
too. I thought
I was like, that was hot. We're going to Hoth.
I said it last week because it's on your bingo card. Now it's 2 weeks in a row. They went to cold planets. I'm like, Mike.
Yep.
I want it so bad.
So close. So I think it's cool. But yeah, it's the den has some cool little details in it this week. And obviously anytime there's a Jurassic Park reference or homage, I like it.
We're here for that.
Yep.
There was the one outfit also that Omega had at the beginning when they were just chilling on Pabu that almost looked like a hemp vest kind of, and she had like a necklace with a little, you know, it's like beach bum wear, like I work at a surf shop, you know, like sure. I skipped college to go work at a surf shop kind of thing.
Yeah,
like the hemp choker with the turquoise on it or whatever.
Yeah,
surfing's the source.
Yeah, it's Pabu life.
Anybody? No.
What is that? Point Break.
Point Break.
Yeah. Whoa, War Child.
All right, bingo cards. We referenced this earlier. We blew it. Nothing. Just like we got nothing, except maybe we're still on track for no adventure of the week. That's the only thing. And we got, I think, one or two hits on the first one. You guys got nothing. We got nothing last week, right?
We're striking out, lads.
I told you, I don't care if I won the poll, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah, we're striking out.
I won something.
All right, let's get into I Love You, I Know.
I love you.
I know.
Patrons, give us some favorite moments, quotes, whatever, and we'll get into those after we do ours. Who wants to go first? Who has something that they really loved this week?
I've been pretty vocal about struggling to stay hooked when there are Monster of the Week episodes, right? Like, I don't think I could have watched and thoroughly enjoyed all of the Clone Wars. You know, like I really loved that there was that sort of like, here's the streamlined Ahsoka and Anakin story that you need to watch. Like, that's great. Struggle with that. So I loved the acknowledging of that in this week's episode. Like, I feel like they know it's a thing because the line where Wrecker said, why is there always a huge monster?
Yes.
I just loved that. I mean, there's probably more impactful moments, but I was like, You see, I feel seen. Filoni, you see me. You made the, you know, it's your show, but you get me. So I love that.
Nice meta moment.
Don't take yourself too serious, you know.
I just generally like that they adopted a dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Batcher is just a dog. Like, this episode was just doing dog stuff. So
digging, sniffing.
I love it.
Smell that worm from a mile away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, what does this family need? We're getting a dog.
I really want him to poop in the ship. Really badly. Or at least like mark, you know, the leg of one of the chairs or something, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, you got to know whose chair it is. Mike, how about you?
You know, I think what's interesting is we talked about this on the podcast during season two, how this really was becoming Tech's season, right? And this one is so Crosshair focused. It does make me think that we're going to get his moment. And if Hunter's relationship with Omega and Hunter and Wrecker both kind of having an individual relationship with them, but those two have always been pretty joined up. And I think that was season one. Season two is Tech. And if season three, the final season, is Crosshair, if that this is his episode or this is his season, I think this episode really showed his turning point of forgiving himself, recognizing that he is, while his abilities break down over time and seemingly are actually, you know, if you're a marksman and AZ, we love AZ. AZ is like, you're terrible. You only did half. You're 53%. That's much lower than what you usually do, right? And Crosshair's like, thanks for the reminder. Appreciate that. But as he is losing his ability of what makes him what he is, and takes away his original purpose, finding a new purpose with the rest of the Bad Batch, I think was, for him, that is a huge, huge shift for him, huge shift for his character arc. And so I think that conversation between him and Hunter, where they both express that sometimes you realize you're fighting for the wrong side and you dwell on it, you sit back in it, you realize what you did. And then, as Hunter said, we can just keep trying to do good and maybe there's hope for us still. Kind of makes me think that they are going to have a massive impact on the events of Star Wars, which I love.
My favorite moment, it was all conversation stuff, of course, because there was a lot of that. But my favorite one was actually a funny moment, but was also heartfelt. It was when Crosshair was talking to Omega about whether or not she could come on the mission. He's saying, well, you know, I think he's just looking out for you. You know, he's concerned about you, basically. He wants to keep you safe, which was a nice moment also, you know. Mm-hmm. Crosshair not talking shit about Hunter, like, no, giving him credit, like, he's just trying to keep you safe. And he said, you're just a kid. And she says, I'm older than you are, little brother.
Oh, gotcha.
I thought that was great.
Gotcha.
Nice little burn, but also heartfelt. It was a good moment. Nick, what about the patrons? What are they saying?
I mean, a couple of people replied more about, you know, what I said about Batcher just being a part of the team. Also, you just stole Physic Buddy Joe's, so that is something. Stacey Leanne says that she loved the Big Brother group hug. Kind of cute.
It was heartwarming.
You're getting the band back together.
And I Am Godzilla says the homage to Tremors. Sure, it wasn't Dune. I feel like it was Dune.
couple graboids in there.
Let's change it up. Let it be Tremors.
They're doing a Tremors remake, right?
Yeah.
Of course they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are they not remaking?
I saw the Twister trailer.
Yeah, Twisters.
At Dune. Yeah.
That's a cow. That's another cow. No, I think it's the same cow.
I can't wait to not watch that movie.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be on my viewing list either. All right, let's wrap up. Everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Patrons, thanks for being patrons. We are going to do our little after show segment like we do. We're reading from the Star Wars conversation cards, the chat pack written by Kelly Knox. I'll go ahead and say it this week. The one we're doing is from the characters category. The question, bad news, you work for the Empire. Good news, you get to choose your boss. Who is it?
Oh.
We'll answer that in the bonus segment for patrons after this. So if you want to hear that and get other exclusive things, exclusive merch, Discord access and everything, patreon.com/thankthemakerpod. Dudes, I love you, and I love space movies and TV shows.
We know.
Love you guys.
Until next week, may the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.